All right, Judges chapter 16. Verse 21, and with this we will finish our time with Samson. You know, I have to admit, I like Samson. He turns out okay. We'll see that with the best he could. And he's got a lot of questionable ways. And of course, the judges were judges. They were there for a purpose. They were more of a civil or political or military answer. They weren't really the spiritual answer in all cases, but they did hold people generally to the law of God, and that was one of their functions. But they were those who would be sent by God to deliver Israel from the oppression that they deserved because they forsook the Lord. So that's Judges. We have a few more chapters or even wilder to come, but verse 21 of Judges 16. The Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes. We looked at this last week, but I'm going to get this as part of this week too. And they brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze chains, and he was a grinder in the prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it was shaved off. Now the lords of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice, for they said, "Our God has given Samson, our enemy, into our hands." When the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, "Our God has given our enemy into our hands, even the destroyer of our country, who has slain many of us." So happened when they were in high spirits that they said, "Call for Samson, that he may amuse us." So they called for Samson from the prison, and he entertained them. And they made him stand between the pillars. And Samson said to the boy who was holding his hand, "Let me feel the pillars on which the house rests, that I may lean against them." Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And about 3,000 men and women were on the roof looking on while Samson was amusing them. Then Samson called to the Lord and said, "O Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me just this time, O God, that I may at once be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." Samson grasped the two middle pillars on which the house rested and braced himself against them, the one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bent with all his might so that the house fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead whom he killed in his death were more than those whom he killed in his life. And his brothers and all his father's household came down, took him, brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the tomb of Manoah, his father. Thus he had judged Israel 20 years. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Samson. We thank you for the purpose that you used him for, the fact that you did use him, imperfect as he was, the fact that you gave him a fitting departure and an opportunity to reclaim what he had lost in his dishonor to some great degree, we think. And Lord, as we consider the fact that you moved in behalf of Israel, we, Lord, pray that you would do that for our country and for this world, that you would heal our land and cause justice and mercy to reign, to, Lord, that our land be that which pleases you. Lord, even as you sent Samson to an undeserving nation to relieve the oppression from it, Lord, may you do that for this undeserving country as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What I normally do, as you know, is have a Thanksgiving passage the day before Thanksgiving, the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. And so I went about that to think about what exactly I would do. But then as I was looking at Judges, we got something right here. This passage has many of the elements that are part of our, in this country, our Thanksgiving celebrations. There is in this, these verses, this passage, a typical Thanksgiving gathering. And there's also a lesson on Thanksgiving in Samson. In spite of where he was and what he was doing and the shame and the disgrace that he was under, and again, a lot by his own doing. So I thought, well, we'll just stay right here. Because we are invited in this passage to a Thanksgiving festival hosted by the Philistines. The Philistines are having, in this chapter, a sacrifice to Dagon. They're honoring God, their God, for something so amazing and great in their nation that they have a big, big to-do about it. And it is a thanksgiving to their God. As you know, Samson had been given the job of a judge in Israel in order to release Israel from the Philistine oppression that was upon them. In this case, we don't see any explicit seeking by Israel for the Lord to deliver them. You remember in the past, the judges, the people would fall, they would sin, and then they would be under oppression, and they would be pressed down and on and on and on for years. And finally, they would call upon the Lord, and the Lord would send a deliverer, a judge. In this particular case, we don't see that. We see that God sees Philistine oppression on his people. And then we see the Lord raising up Samson, even with a miraculous birth. And so this plan of God's is like 20 plus years in the making before Samson even appears to start his judging of Israel. So the Lord is acting in advance. It is pleasing to the Lord to deliver Israel from the Philistine oppression. God delights in his people being free of oppression. He took it upon himself just right out of his eternal sovereignty to make a plan and to follow through with it. And so he sought to deliver Israel. Now, Israel at this time, you noticed it as we went through these few chapters on Samson from 13 to the year, that Israel is resigned to their fate. They're in quicksand, but they've adapted to it. They've kept their heads above water or above the quicksand. And if anybody tries to get in to pull them out, they go, whoa, wait a minute, don't mess anything up. We might sink. So they've taken the Philistine oppression and just accepted it as what it is. They haven't sought the Lord to release them from it that we see. They seem more, you know, given up. They surrendered to it. They're passive. So God chooses himself to save. That's like salvation. God saves us even when we don't see we need to be saved. When the Lord opens our hearts, most often, up until that point, when he begins to deal with our hearts for salvation, we have no idea we even need God. We think we're okay. And we're willing to, you know, be passive toward this thing about salvation. And then the Lord begins to deal with our hearts, and suddenly it matters. And we begin to get agitated about it. We begin to become moved by it. Then we seek the Lord as the Lord seeks us first. And so it is here with Israel. The Lord is seeking to deliver Israel without their even understanding of the fix they're in. Now, we mentioned Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving, of course, the most basic aspect of Thanksgiving is that you have good things given to you from God. And of course, that's religious Thanksgiving. And the origin of Thanksgiving, there's a couple of origins of Thanksgiving that are presented to us. One is with the pilgrims, I think in 1621, when they got through the winter, thanks to that, with the help of the Indians, and they got through, and the next year they had a good harvest. And so that is the earliest thought of that. The pilgrims who were fleeing religious persecution, coming to America, and the Lord had granted them a blessing, and so they gave thanks. The official recognition was by Abraham Lincoln in 1863, in the midst of the Civil War, and he said we should set aside a day to thank God. So you got those two things. And so Thanksgiving is basically a proclamation that we should be thankful to God. It's not very, specific other than that. And really it shouldn't be as far as a proclamation, because we know proclamations don't always yield the hoped for result. The don't text and drive proclamation. There are people who have taken that proclamation and they've signed something. I think I've seen stuff that you sign and you're not going to text and drive. And after that, do you guess 100% of the people who proclaimed that they would not text and drive, that they never did? Or drink and drive? Or say no to drugs? These are proclamations that have good intentions. So Thanksgiving is in at its inception a good intention. It's a proper and noble cause to thank God. And so it's interesting then to look at the Philistine version of this. The Philistines, just like any other place, comes together and they have a festival of Thanksgiving. And the impetus for their blessing or their thanksgiving is Samson. Samson, once he became the judge, he has killed a lot of Philistines. And there was nothing anybody could do to stop him. His great strength. He was a Nazarite. A Nazarite vow. He was a Nazarite from the womb, different from other Nazarites who might take the vow for a few years or a few months or whatever. He was from the womb on for the rest of his life a Nazarite. I mean, he didn't cut his hair. He didn't drink wine or strong drink, and he didn't touch dead bodies. He at least grew his hair long. And his hair was the most obvious sign that he was a Nazarite, separated unto God, given to God's purpose of being a judge to deliver Israel from the Philistines. And so Samson was betrayed by his wife at the wedding feast. He got married to a Philistine woman. He was dallying with the Philistines. It's one of the things probably that the Lord saw as a useful tool, because he was always in the Philistine area anyway. And he told a riddle, and his wife was pressed by the Philistines to find out the riddle. And so she cried on him and all this stuff. And he finally told her, and she told them, and he lost the bet. He got mad, went back home. She was given to somebody else. He came back to claim her, not knowing she'd been given to somebody else, and she was gone. So he had a fit. He had killed a lot of Philistines. You couldn't stop his strength. Now he went down to, we saw in this chapter, in the first verse and the early verses, that Samson had a problem with women. I mean, he came and went to a harlot. And then it was Delilah, who was also a harlot, probably. And Samson and Delilah, I don't know how many movies have been made of that. And they did the same thing with Delilah as they did with his wife, to pay her to get him to reveal to her what his great strength was and how it came about. And then he could be, as Delilah told the Philistines, he could be captured. And Samson played around with that. He played bedroom games with Delilah. He was very much into the lust of the flesh. And he was toying with her a lot. She cried all over him too. And finally, he told her that if his hair was cut, his strength would fail. And so it did. Why he would tell her, you know, one day he's out driving his car, rolls the window down, his brain flew right out the window. That's, you know, it's just stupid. But, you know, he's being pressed by this woman in an intimate setting, and he gave it up. They cut his hair, gouged out his eyes, dragged him down to Gaza, and they made him a slave in the prison. He was a grinder in the prison. It was something women usually did, grinding grain, but he was a grinder in the prison, blind, and probably a couple of years may have passed before this Thanksgiving. His hair grew back out. He was not immediately part of this because you know, we have a time element here where they prepared for this. It's not just a normal gathering. This was really a big event. All the lords of the Philistines were there. This wasn't just something you call up people and you say, let's come over, let's have a, you know, picnic. They really planned this out. And so they called a festival for the deliverance of Philistines' territory from Samson. And verse 23 explains it to us. Says, now the lords of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice, for they said, our God has given Samson, our enemy, into our hands. When the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God has given our enemy into our hands, even the destroyer of our country, who has slain many of us. So the Samson problem is over. And they are returning thanks to Dagon, their god. Dagon was a Canaanite deity. He was adopted by the Philistines. There are two theories about the origin of his name. Dagon is part of the word for fish. So his image, when it's drawn or sculpted, often has a fish body and a man's head. Others point out that Dagon is part of this whole fertility cult that Baal is part of. Dagon was actually father of Baal in one instance, is mentioned. And so others, they see it more generally as, you know, the same as Baal. He provides fertility, fertility of the womb, fertility of the land, fertility of, you know, commerce and money being made. So he is the god that is honored. There are three gods the Philistines had. Dagon was the chief one. And so Dagon is getting the credit here. And they say very explicitly, Dagon has delivered Samson into our hands. How did Dagon get to this powerful place? Samson was strong. He would just snap any strong object just, you know, in an instant and carry heavy loads and break through all sorts of impossible obstructions. How did Dagon get this done. Well, the same way as any false god gets anything done. Dagon was created by his followers and given power. Power which passed down from generation to generation, in which Dagon was recognized as their god. You create the god, you define the god, and you give credit to the god with events such as it was a nice harvest. Thank Dagon. Or I had a child. Thank Dagon. So you just by making it up, you connect Dagon with good things. So the Philistines said, well, we got Samson. How did we do it? Dagon. Dagon delivered Samson into our hands. Of course, he couldn't have. But that's the one who got the credit. Whoever they made their god of, that was the one given the credit. So Dagon, festival, sacrifice to Dagon. All that's man-made. Whatever sacrifice they give, whatever thanks they give, whatever recognition they give to Dagon is entirely made up. And as far as Thanksgiving goes, if they want to have a Thanksgiving festival, you know, go for it. I'm all for it. If you want to have a Thanksgiving festival, have a Thanksgiving festival. However, we got to bear some things in mind here about the Philistines and their Thanksgiving Day. Just because they had one didn't make it accurate or effectual. First of all, they misinterpreted their most recent success, this grand success, Samson. They misinterpreted how Samson got to be in Philistia. It always happens with false religion. If you make something up, remember the Muslims on 9/11, in certain parts of the world were flooding the streets, rejoicing that Allah had showed himself to be strong in taking the buildings down. Well, Allah, of course, didn't have anything to do with that. And so Dagon has anything to do with this. They credited the wrong deity. The fact that God is involved, we can't doubt. The fact that Samson came into their land, was defeated, we don't discount. But the only one who could bring Samson to the Philistines would be God, the Lord God, the living God. He alone is sovereign. All the events on earth have contingent factors. A contingent factor here would be Samson's foolishness, being with Delilah, the Philistines' trickery. All those things are contingent causes. They were seeking Samson. They got him. They brought him to Gaza. That's contingency factors. But all of that is of God. God's sovereignty brought that about. And so they made a big deal out of a vain belief, to bolster falsehood. Well, just momentarily apply it to a modern day Thanksgiving. If you have a Thanksgiving Day and attribute it to the wrong God, that you have blessing, well, then you're cementing yourself in a false belief that whatever you're doing is clearly working because look at you, you got blessing. Well, God blesses everybody. His children and the children of the devil, his enemies. So they made a big deal out of this vain belief and they cemented it, but it didn't do anything for Dagon. Dagon wasn't built up by it because he had to be alive first. And so this is all very elaborate exercise in vanity and deception. It is making the Philistines even more locked into a lie. And so they considered that they had won and that their God had done something that had delivered them from Samson. And the proof was Samson was right there, a grinder in their prison. And so they rested in that fact. They let down their guard. And they felt no further threat from Samson because Samson was captured and Dagon had done it. That was their thanksgiving. So they adopted a false sense of peace and security. They were right with Dagon, but they were wrong with the Lord. But in their minds, it's over. Samson, the Samson problem is over because Dagon has delivered them. That's explicitly what they're saying. That Dagon has given Samson, our enemy, into our hands. He is the very reason, the acting agent of deity. Our God has given our enemy into our hands, even the destroyer of our country, who has slain many of us. So they have a celebration. One thing that we're told in verse 22 is after Samson was taken, after his head was shaved, and he lost that outward symbol of being a Nazarite, which then matched really his inward lack of dedication to the Lord at that time, they didn't pay any attention to his hair. You might think that if Samson's secret to his strength in their eyes was his hair, they wouldn't have let it grow back. But they did. I believe it shows how confident they were in their God. Samson was defeated. Their God had triumphed. And so all this praise of their God, they see no cause for any further care. So Samson's hair started growing back. More on that. Verse 25. And so it happened when they were in high spirits, they said, call for Samson that he may amuse us. All this entertainment that Samson did for them, I'm assuming, was more in the way of mockery. It's like you make fun of someone who's a defeated enemy. He kills so many of them. He is despised and hated. And to see him blind and a slave in their prison doing the work that women normally did, that was their entertainment. And so he was made a show to shame. And so he was brought out for that purpose. It wouldn't be feats of strength. They would know that was a problem if he could do that. So there was a boy who was with Samson holding his hand, guiding him around. And Samson says, let me feel the pillars on which the house rests that I may lean against them, verse 26. These were central beams that held up the roof. There would have been more beams. But, you don't have to take all the beams out to get the roof to fall. And there are certain ones that are key, and those are the ones that Samson asked to be placed with. And so the boy guides him to that, to those pillars, where he can lean against them. Nobody's noticed his hair has grown back. And we're told in verse 27, the house is full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and he had 3,000 on the roof. Probably was a circular area with an open middle part. You could see below, and there was, like inside seats as well. So it was a lot, thousands of Philistines. And so you had some high up, you had some underneath the roof, and you got Samson down below. And now he's got his hands on the pillars that support the temple, the place where they're gathering. And Samson prays to the Lord, verse 28, and says, O Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me just this time, O God, that I may at once be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Hear what Samson says. His hair is not why he had strength. God was why he had strength. Samson's hair was a sign of God's covenant with him as a Nazarite and his separation unto God. And it's reasonable to think that as Samson was humbled and blinded and taken to the prison, that his mind, his spirit, his soul were in a state of repentance afterwards. And here he doesn't, you know, his hair growing is not the thing. He prays to God that God would give him strength, not his hair. If hair alone caused strength, well, that'd be very superstitious. But it wasn't his hair, it was his relationship to God. And when he stood before God there with his hands on these pillars and he's ready to end in death and destroy the Philistines, as was his call as a judge, he calls to the Lord to be strengthened. It wasn't his hair. His hair was not the secret formula. His eyes, before they were poked out, you remember Jesus said, if your eye offends you, gouge it out. Samson's sin was, the lust of the flesh. His eyes would see a pretty woman and there he'd go. And they were the cause of him getting into that liaison with Delilah, plus just the general lust of the flesh. And when they were gouged out, now that's done. That gate is closed, and it is believed, and I believe it's a fact, because we see Samson in the hall of fame of faith in Hebrews 11, is that he is now, once again, God's man. And God still has the same purpose for Samson. He still is to kill Philistines and deliver Israel. And he prays that he would be able to do that. So verse 29 says, he grasped the two middle pillars in which the house rested and braced himself against them, the one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. This isn't suicide so much as, you know, dying in battle. His fight against the Philistines at this point could only be achieved if he himself died with them. And he prayed for that. He bent with all his might so that the house fell on the Lord's and all the people who were in it. So the dead whom he killed on his death, in his death, were more than those whom he killed in his life. And after the Philistines had attributed all of this to Dagon, and they had thanksgiving, and they had taken their eyes off of Samson, and he once again, with his great strength, reached up and killed even more in his death than he did in his life. His brothers, all his father's household, came down, took him and brought him up and buried him back where, you know, he's from, Zor Eshtel, in the tomb of his father. And so he judged 20 years. But it was probably at least 20 years probably before he began to judge. So they had a thanksgiving. They thank God, their God. And they had a nice festival. They had a lot of fun times. Their spirits were high. Philistines, in research I've done, pretty good drinkers, we're told. How people know this or conclude that, I think all societies are. But our Thanksgiving could learn from this in America. To the degree that God or a God is acknowledged as mankind's benefactor, you may have thanksgiving that is genuine and good, and thanksgiving that is amiss. My wife, and you will believe this. I see your rose over there. My wife made a good meal tonight. Meatloaf, mashed potatoes, and peas. And I immediately got on the phone and called my ex-girlfriend back in North Carolina and thanked her for the meal. How alive would I be? You thank the person responsible. When Dagon was thanked, he wasn't responsible. It wasn't his job. It wasn't his duty. It wasn't his doing. And any thanksgiving made to any God that isn't God is missing the mark. And in many cases, it cements people into paganism and unbelief. It's not enough to have a Thanksgiving day. We have to target the right God. You can't just shoot a gun. You have to aim it to the proper place. Any thanksgiving to a false God is unsuccessful. You can't please a false God. It's futility. And there's no one to receive the thanks. Furthermore, the particulars themselves begin to work against you, in that you are erecting a more detailed version of your God that leads to more deception, because you have attributed to God, your God, certain powers. I'm convinced this is what the radical Muslims do when they do terrorism. They're trying to animate their God who doesn't exist. They're trying to give Allah some characteristics that he doesn't have so that people would fear him. Otherwise, they wouldn't fear him because he can't do anything. They have to do it for him. And so it is with any false religion. You have to prop it up with your own works. Thanksgiving to God is seen as a praiseworthy thing. It is. But the problem that we have in modern day Thanksgiving is that it is considered that if you meet with your family and eat, and you say you're thankful, that in itself is thanksgiving, but it's not. Unless you thank God, the true God, it misses. And so this festival has all the hallmarks of the futility of thanksgiving that gives thanks to an unknown God or to a false God. And so the end of Samson's life proved that you've got to be in touch with the right God. Dagon was an ancient, well-founded deity with a history. People had written down all this stuff, what he'd done, who he'd married, all the things that he was responsible for. I could see both ways if he was the fish god, because the Philistines lived next to the Mediterranean and fishing was a big commercial thing. And so they would make a god who was related to fish. That would be possible. Of course, inland with Baal, it was more about the crops and the womb and all that. But superstition. You can't make facts out of superstition. To truly be thankful at Thanksgiving, of course, we have to give thanks to the proper God and from our hearts. And not just on Thanksgiving Day. That's a Hallmark holiday. Our Thanksgiving is to be constantly, perpetually, every day, all the time. There's one thing about this that I mentioned it first, but let me draw the line to it here. We're told in the Bible to give thanks in everything. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. In Samson's case, giving thanks for everything, if he had gotten that New Testament command back then, would mean that he would have to thank God for something that didn't seem to be of God. It was his own fumbling around, fooling around with Delilah and foolishness, and there he is, and he's been defeated, and he's being, you know, oppressed by the Philistines, who he was sent to deliver Israel from. And yet what we see in the end is that when you thank God in situations that do not seem to be worthy of thanks, is that we're recognizing that God in his sovereignty will still bring about an appropriate end to his children. Samson's shame turned into a greater victory than all his seeing years and all the time he was not in the prison in Gaza. So we give thanks by faith when you in everything give thanks. Because that means we give thanks for things that we're not really necessarily thankful for on the surface. In everything with by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You see, you do it by faith, because you know, like Samson here is, I can't thank God for this. I'm in the prison. I'm blind. I messed up. And in the end, God came through, showed that even Samson's humiliation and foolishness resulted by the grace of God into the glory of God. And God accomplished through Samson what he sent Samson to accomplish, the destruction of the Philistines and the removal of their oppression. When we thank God in advance and by faith, this is what we're looking for, and this is what God does. Let's pray. We're thankful that you're working now, working in areas that we can't see. The secret things belong to the Lord. May we truly be thankful from the heart, sacrifice constantly given to you. And I pray, Lord, that as a result of that, you will be pleased. For Lord, we owe you thanksgiving, even in things that we do not grasp and understand. And Lord, we do thank you. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for sending him. Thank you for your mercies to us, that you call us to yourself, Lord, that none of us would know you unless you first had called us and drawn us to the Lord Jesus. We would never even want to come. We would not think we needed to. We would think it foolish to consider it. We thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you that there's always hope in you for any bad problem. We often look around, look at our nation, we say, oh, it's too far gone. And maybe it is. We don't know about the end times and when they will no longer snap back and be made better. But Lord, we know always that you can move things back and redeem that which has fallen, even as Samson was redeemed in the end and brought back to a useful child of yours and a tool of your purpose. I pray, Lord, we would have that gushing of thanksgiving in our hearts always. In Jesus' name, amen.